Thank you, guys. Being Communion Sunday, remember we save our sharing for after communion at the end of the service, so you can be thinking that way. The last 2 weeks, we've been in the midst of a series from Colossians 2. I want to lay that aside for one Sunday because I want us to focus on the new memory verse we have for March, especially since it's day one of March. You've got 31 days, 5 Sundays, and so you get plenty of time to walk in this truth. So Luke, turn my mic on for me, please. And so we're going to set that aside and focus on our memory verse for March. Just to remind you of our year verse, would you say that with me? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man. You're not saying it very loudly. Come on, you can do better than that. Try it again. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. You know, you're not having to say it for memory. You can do that one well. So if you remember what we're trying to do in our monthly memory verses that are all coming from the book of Psalms is looking at that little phrase that appears over and over again. The Lord is. And then it names some characteristic or even title about the Lord and invites us to taste and see that He is good in that particular way. So that's our monthly verses. So our verse for March, and it's in your bulletin. You can turn to it if you want to, or it's up here on the screen. It's chapter 18, verse 2, and it reads this way. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. So you'll notice in this verse, instead of focusing on one truth to taste and see that the Lord is good, as we've done in January and February's verses, this gives you several months worth of ways to taste and see that the Lord is good. So you have the whole month of March to explore these and ask the Lord to help you see that in Him and His dealings with you throughout March. And so that's our verse for this month. Actually, this is a psalm. Psalm 18 actually occurs twice in the Bible. One in the history book, 2 Samuel 22, and one in the hymn book of Israel. This here in the book of Psalms, chapter 18. But it appears twice, I assume because the Holy Spirit warned it emphasized. And emphasized, I would guess, because life throws a lot of things at us. Hard, difficult, confusing, fearful things. And so we are going to need the assurance that God is our rock, our fortress, our deliverer, our God, our strength, our refuge, our shield, our horn, our stronghold. 9 characteristics in this one verse. Does that give you any kind of indication of the force of things that may come at us in this life? 9 things, different titles, descriptions of who the Lord is to us, is to be to us in our relationship with Him. So let's take a look at this. You may need to open your Bibles because in your Bibles, you know, sometimes we're given, before you actually get started, a little bit of a historical setting, what led to the writing of this. And this is one of those few Psalms when we're told that. And so I'll put it up here on the screen for you as well. But so before we get started in verse 1, it starts with this. It says, for the choir director, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, and then it starts into verse 1. So this psalm was written somewhere toward the end of David's life. And as he testifies, the Lord had delivered him from all of his enemies, those enemies that were within Israel, starting with Saul, all the way to his son Absalom, who tried to take the throne from him, had delivered him from his enemies outside of Israel, surrounding Israel. And so now David has reached the point where his kingdom is safe and secure and settled. And so he's singing this song. This is a little bit of a long song. It has 50 verses in it. We're just going to focus on the three verses here at the beginning as we look toward our memory verse in verse 2 and spend our time there. So notice how he begins. Look at verse 1. He says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. I hope that maybe rings a bell for some of you because we had this as one of our memory verses back in 2021. That year in our monthly memory verses, we were focusing on verses that talked about God's promised strength to us. We started off in January with seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. And that kind of set the course of what we were going to be doing the rest of the months in our memory verses, looking at these verses that promised God's strength to us. And then when we got to the end of the year in December, this was our concluding verse. In light of all the things we had seen and memorized and put into practice and trusted the Lord for, our conclusion was, after all of that, Lord, I love you. I love your strength. And so this verse hopefully reminds you maybe of some of those verses that year. I love you, O Lord, my strength. How can we not love Him in light of the strength, the physical strength, the emotional strength sometimes, the spiritual strength? How can we not love Him in light of the giving of His strength to us? And so we should be singing along with David. I love you, O Lord, my strength. In studying this, I came to understand that this word love is a little different word for love than is normally used. It is speaking of a strong, hearty affection coming up from within us. One man described it this way. He said it means to yearn over and points out that actually the root of the word carries the thought of fondling, so that a paraphrase could read something like this. Fervently, with yearning, with a desire to hug you, do I love you, O Lord. Remember, that was kind of Mary's response after on that resurrection morning. She just wanted to hug. She wanted to embrace Jesus. And I don't know if you've ever had in your life just a surge of emotion come over you from deep from within. And you wish you just could have put your arms around the Lord and hug Him. That's where David's coming from and saying this. That's the kind of love that he's speaking of here toward the end of his life. Wish I could just put my arms around you and hug you, my Lord. I love you. Well, having told God that he loved him, David next declares what the Lord had been to him. That's verse 2. His rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his mighty and powerful God, his strength, his refuge, his shield, his horn, his stronghold. But as we begin looking at these, before we get going, can I just make a point to call your attention? Don't skip over the two-letter word, my. Notice he says that. The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress. And the rest of them. So this is something personal. This is something that David has tasted and seen the Lord in these ways in his life, in his own personal experience. He trusted the Lord to be these to him, and he had been. And so just recognize that this is something personal. This is where we want to get to. We're not just saying this in a theoretical or doctrinal type way, but it's personal to us. Lord, I've tasted and seen you're my rock. I've tasted and seen you're my fortress. We want this to be personal in our lives. All right, so let's quickly walk through these nine descriptions. Obviously, I'm only going to be able to touch on them. We could do a message on each one. But as I said, you've got the whole month to taste and see these and experience these in your life. So let's look at the first one. David said, He is my rock. Actually, it's a very often used term for God in the Old Testament. Some 35 plus times God's referred to this way. And if you know pictures of the land of Israel, you realize Israel was kind of a rocky place, a lot of rocks around. We're not talking about pebbles and little rocks here, obviously. But that was one reason why I guess they chose that. They saw parallels all the time around them in the rocky terrain and the rocky mountains and so forth. And so it can mean different things, but primarily what's behind the term rock is the thought of stability, safety, protection, shelter. So when the ground beneath you feels shaky, or it is shaking, let's say it that way, when the ground beneath you is shaking, when the storms of life are blowing hard against you, when everything seems to be shifting, we're called to stand on the firm rock of who our God is. It's an assurance that enables us to have the courage to face the situation, to go through the day, because we know we are anchored in something, or better yet, we're anchored in someone who is far greater than ourselves. I like picturing this, that God is my foundation. He's the solid place that I can stand even when everything around me may be out of control and shaky. As I was thinking through this week, these different descriptions, it occurred to me how many of the songs we sing bear these descriptions. And so I was thinking about this one, "The Lord is My Rock," and the old song, hymn we sing very often, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee, because you're the solid foundation. I'm not. And so I'm going to hide myself in you." So stand on Him, or stand in Him, when the things around you are shaking, life's shaking. That's what it is for Brian and Vicki this morning. You don't feel secure, stand on the solid rock. Does that remind you of another song? "On Christ the solid rock I stand." Number two, he says, "He is my fortress." And so calling God a fortress speaks of the protection He offers. A fortress was a place of refuge, a place of defense, so fortified that it greatly inhibited the enemy from penetrating and conquering the people on the inside. For David, that involved a lot of physical enemies. And some of us have physical enemies. But a lot of times those enemies can be things inside of us. Anxiousness and fear, confusion, sorrow, adversity. And we need God's protection there in our spirits. We need God's protection over our minds. We need God's protection over our emotions at times. Those are the things that are battling us because of something on the outside. So we're called to lay our burdens down before Him, knowing that we are shielded and protected because He is our fortress. In our two trips to Scotland, one of my favorite parts was looking at the fortresses and the castles. These mighty monuments of protection. So here's one. This is Stirling Castle. This was probably our favorite one that we visited. Some were restored, some were in ruins. The ruins fascinated me as well. This is Edinburgh Castle. But they're just monuments, impressively standing high above, whether it was the water or the countryside, but standing up there, and you wondered how any enemy could ever even penetrate and break the barrier and get in there to conquer them. But that's what fortresses stand for. That's who God is as our fortress. And as I thought about a song, how could we talk about a fortress and not think of Martin Luther's famous song, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper He, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing." And sometimes we feel like we're in not just a shower, but a flood. And He's to be our mighty fortress.
Number three, he is my deliverer. So the Lord was not only David's defense, he was his deliverer. And the idea is that not only did the Lord protect him in the place of danger, but the Lord was active. And so there's a little shift in the metaphor here. We've been talking about rock and fortress, kind of inanimate things. Now we're talking about something active. He's my deliverer. He doesn't just stand there strong. He acts for me on my behalf. He is the one who delivers me. And haven't you seen that over and over and over again in your lives? Aren't you grateful that He is your deliverer? Once again, for David, that involved a lot of physical enemies and armies. And I'm grateful the Lord does that sometimes for us. But do you realize one of the greatest foes that we need to be delivered from? Ourselves. You know what I mean? I remember often hearing Carolyn Darrow cry out, "Oh Lord, deliver me from myself." He has. But that was often a prayer of hers. She saw that as an enemy, my old sinful flesh. And there are times we need Him to be our deliverer in that way. And so the song that came to mind is probably one a lot of you don't know well. You may have heard a couple of times us sing it here, but I responded to what it was saying. "'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung, 'tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world ever sung. Our God is able to deliver thee." The things on the outside deliver me and help me there, but also He can deliver me from the things on the inside. And I'm so grateful for that. Next one. He is my God. Actually, it's a different word than from Lord that was used at the beginning of the verse. This is the word E-L in our language, L. It just means great and mighty, powerful. Many times the word L is coupled with another word. To say another description, a name for God, probably the one most familiar with to us is El Shaddai, great and mighty. And so David is referring to, here, He's my God, He's my power, He's my might in all the things that I have to face in this life. The next one is, he says, He is my rock. Again, this is a different word from rock he just mentioned. Other translations have, He is my strength. Another translation translates it this way, He is my mountain. And so it's followed by the phrase, in whom I take refuge or in whom I trust. And so David is saying, I have found in God such a refuge and strength that I will continue to put my trust in Him, making Him my refuge. And if you go to the Lord to make Him your refuge, that's what you're doing. You're putting your trust in Him. So he's my rock, and I trust Him. I put my trust, I go to Him for my refuge, my protection. I thought of this song. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. He's our mighty and secure rock, our mountain, our strength in whom we take refuge. Next one, He is my shield, or I think the King James says buckler. This is also another often repeated description of the Lord, some 25 times or so in the Old Testament. But like a shield, the Lord is the one who enables us to ward off the blows of the enemy. His arrows aimed at us. New Testament uses that expression in terms of the attack of the enemy of God on us. But he's our shield. He deflects these attacks. Actually, to Abraham, God very specifically said to Abraham, "Abraham, I am your shield." He declared that straight up to him. I am your shield. And I thought about that. And I just wonder how many times the Lord has deflected the arrows of the enemy that I knew nothing about. Sometimes I do know, but I bet there are a lot of them I don't know about. He's been my invisible shield to protect me from those fiery arrows of the enemy of God. So how about this song reflecting this one? We rest on Thee, our shield, our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe. Strong in Thy strength, safe in Thy keeping tender, we rest on Thee, and in Thy name we go. Or there was another one that came to mind, another verse from Amazing Grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His hope, His word my hope secures. He will be my shield. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. He's our shield against our enemy. He's our shield against our enemies and their desire to take us down. Next one. He is the horn of my salvation. That's not the way we speak anymore, but they did in biblical times. Horn picturing animals that had horns that were symbols of strength. The animals with horns used them as offensive weapons. They used them as defensive weapons. But it was always speaking of power and strength that were symbolized by the horns on a particular animal. Kings sometimes wore crowns that had horns in them to symbolize their supposed power that they wanted to display and then show to people. So David was declaring here God's active role in his, but also in our deliverance, fighting on our behalf, ensuring triumph over trials and enemies, as well as the one who gives to us the strength we need for battle. I read a minute ago from the hymn, We Rest on Thee. There's another verse in that hymn that reflects this thought. It goes like this. We go in faith, our own great weakness feeling. Been there? And needing more each day, Thy grace or Thy strength to know. Yet from our hearts a song of triumph pealing. We rest on Thee, and in Thy name we go. He is my horn of salvation, the one who is victorious and triumph and enables me to be victorious over the situations that come in my life. And then the last one, He is my stronghold, or the King James says He is my high tower. It's a word indicating a stronghold or a lofty place. It could be something naturally fortified, such as a high hill or even a cliff. Or it could be something man-made, such as literally a high tower. But a high hill or a high tower, it speaks not only of having a place of safety, but of also having a place that offers a vantage point. As you look down from on high, you can see what the enemy's doing. You can see the safe way to get out if you need to do that. It gives you a right perspective, a needed perspective, and what you're facing, what's coming against you. And so David here refers to God. He already referred to Him as a fortress. However, it seems like with this one, he's thinking about more of the location of the fortress, of the tower, that one that gives him a right perspective. God always has that perspective. And sometimes we need to go to Him and ask Him for the right perspective on this situation, this person, how to respond, what to do. Makes me think of James when we go, we need wisdom. And so we ask the Lord for wisdom, direction. There's a little course, I don't know if you know it, it actually comes from a verse in Proverbs, but the course goes like this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. So there you go. There's nine descriptions, pictures of who God is. And as I've walked you through these very quickly, maybe you've observed, boy, they're really kind of similar. They really kind of have the same kind of theme. They're all intertwined together. And so maybe the question could be asked, David, why don't you just name one of them? Because they're all so similar. Pastor's having a hard time distinguishing between them. So why don't you just name one of them instead of all nine of them? And I wasn't able to talk with David this week, but here's two answers I like to offer to you. Maybe why he chose nine descriptions instead of just one. Here's the first answer. Because the Lord's protection for us and on us is not just one-dimensional. It's not just one-dimensional. In other words, there's sometimes I need stability. God is my rock. There are other times when I need an active rescue. And so God is my rescuer. There are other times when I need to be able to see that the victory is even possible. And so the mighty God, the horn of my salvation, is what I need to be reminded of, how mighty and powerful He is. Sometimes I need a right perspective. A lot of times I need a right perspective on things. And so God is my high tower, the one who has the right perspective, the best perspective on the situation. His protection of us is not just one dimensional. It manifests itself in many different ways. So that's one answer maybe why David gave us nine descriptions. A second answer that is maybe, and here, as I said, David is writing this toward the end of his life, and maybe he was just overwhelmed as he thought back to all the ways God had revealed himself to him, all the ways God had worked on his behalf. And realize one description is just not enough to describe and express my depth of thankfulness and gratefulness to all the Lord has done for me. And so, if I could say it this way, he got out his thesaurus roll and unrolled it and just started writing down different descriptions of what God had done for him, had God had been to him. And I'm glad he did. Yeah, they're similar. But I appreciate and respond to this repeated emphasis on God as our refuge and our strength and our protection. So you look at those nine declarations and those pictures that David had personally experienced, and it makes you understand why he says what he says next in verse 3. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. That's the only proper response. I've called. I'm going to continue to call. Because I'm going to still need Him in these ways in my life. So when your life maybe feels a little bit unstable, maybe relationships have crumbled, job has disappeared, health challenge is impacting your life, God is your rock. He doesn't change. His character remains solid when everything else may be changing and everything else is shifting. And so like David says, call upon Him, your rock, in those times. Or when you need safety from real threats, physical, emotional, spiritual, God is your fortress. Call to Him. Go to Him. Run to Him. Find your security in Him being your fortress. When you're trapped in a situation that you cannot fix, debt, a broken relationship, consequences of past choices or other types of situations, God is your deliverer. He specializes in rescuing people who can't rescue themselves. Call out to Him to be your deliverer. when you need strength beyond your own to face another day, to make the right choice, to stand under the pressure that's being put on you. God is your strength, and His power works in the midst of your weaknesses. And so we call out to Him, Lord, would You grant that grace and strength again? Deliver me. Give me the victory in this situation. When attacks come against your faith, when it comes against your character, when whatever, He's your shield. He defends you. He wards off blows. He sustains you. When you need perspective, advantage in the battle, God is your high tower. He's your stronghold. Go and ask Him. Lord, help me to know what to do, how to respond, what to think here. So David called to Him in his needs, and he saw God manifest Himself in these ways to him. And so, updated to us, let's call upon Him in all these variety of needs that come to us through the life that we're living. And let us call to Him like David did. So I just want to encourage you this month to keep a copy of this verse with you on your phone, post it somewhere in your house, have it in your vehicle, and just think about it throughout the day. As different situations arise, you can pull it out and reflect on these different characteristics, descriptions. Maybe there's one that really rings home, rings true for you in that situation that you're facing. Read it throughout the day. Maybe review them while you're doing errands or whatever, and be reminded to put your trust in one of these depictions and pictures of who God wants to be to you. And as you do, taste and see that the Lord is good through all these different situations in your life as you see Him manifested Himself in these characteristics and pictures to you. So let's pray. Then we're going to take communion together. So with your heads bowed, just give you an opportunity to go before the Lord. We talked about the enormous cost that was involved when the Lord redeeming us, saving us, to bring us to the place where we can experience Him in these nine different ways. And so this time is for anybody who has a genuine relationship with the Lord to partake with us. The Lord calls us to examine our hearts. It costs Him a lot, and He doesn't want us to participate in a lighthearted way, casual way, but to make sure that we're in a right relationship with Him. So let me just give you a little bit of quiet time to examine your hearts, to go before Him so that you are ready to prepare and prepared to partake of the bread and cup together. So just quiet in our hearts right now. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy, for Your forgiveness. Thank You for hearing our prayers. And Lord, may just the sweetness of what these emblems represent bless us once again as we give thanks for Jesus. Amen.